Dostoevsky books, philosophy is in fact dynamite because it's what controls how people think. Now, phenomenist agnosticism. What does that mean? That's the negative principle, the manner which is going to level the building site, on which follows the positive principle of, you see it on your plan, they're vital elements. We'll explain all that, but firstly we've got to destroy. This is the modern means of leveling the building site. This is an atom bomb inside the Twin Towers, and the whole of New York City is blackened by this principle. The principle is a modern philosophy, and what modern philosophers play with is the process of knowing. How do I know an object? Now, you stand in front of a wall there and you say, well, I know it's a wall. I know that's a wall. I know that's a light. You think it looks easy. In fact, it's rather more complicated than you think, because in human knowing, there are two things that are combined. There's the sensation, my seeing with my eye the wall, and then there's also an intelligence in there which is saying that that is a wall. That cream color could be a sheet. It could be just pure color. Could be a sheet. It could be the seaside. It couldn't be the seaside, but there's a number of things. It's my mind is constantly reading the data of the senses that are coming to me. So the truth about knowledge was Aristotle worked it out. It's a difficult thing to work out. It's not, as I say, it's not nearly as easy as it looks. Aristotle worked it out in a way that had the church satisfied and intelligent mind satisfied for many, many years. But modern man is not good enough. And Descartes in particular thought he would know better. So the picture is, let's say then, here you've got, that represents a tree. There's the trunk and there are the leaves. Now, in saying my, and there, so to speak, in yellow is what the tree is. It is a tree. And the mind is reading what's behind the appearances. What the appearances are there of what? The appearances are the appearances of. That's the green and the brown is the appearances, and the tree is what their appearances are. Okay, now here you've got Frankenstein. When I draw him, he always comes out looking like Frankenstein. And then Frankenstein has, so to speak, a green eye. And the green eye is picking up, his sense is picking up the phenomena. But then what Aristotle says, and we have to go into the whole analysis of knowledge to see why Aristotle says this, but what Aristotle says is that the eye simply picks up color. I see brown, I see dusty white black, I see cream, I see yellow, I see dark brown, I see gold. My mind is just picking up color. My ear is just picking up sound. Friends, if you stop and think about it, it's obviously not your eye that tells you that this is talking. It's not your ear that tells you that it's talking, right? That this shape is talking. In other words, the eye and the ear can't put together what the ear and the eye pick up. It's obvious then that there's, for instance, there's some other faculty which is putting together all of these various data coming through five senses. My backside is telling me through the sense of touch that I'm sitting on a hard bench. My ears are picking up someone talking. My eyes are picking up someone standing there and gesticulating. There's obviously got to be some faculty which is putting all these together. And then, if I stop and think about it, there is definitely also a mind reading what the senses are putting in front of me. For instance, let me give you a very clear example of the mind reading what the senses are putting in front of me. You know, it's these children's games. What is this? Anybody? Okay, now notice, Your senses are picking up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 circles. Okay? 9 lines and 10 circles. 6 lines and 10 circles. That's what your senses are picking up. And what your senses are picking up is not going to change. But now, when I say to you what it is, there'll be an addition to your knowledge. Right? What is it, folks? Da, 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 da. It is a giraffe walking past a window. Now you all laugh because the mind has kicked in over and above the mere eye. The eye hasn't changed. Your senses are telling you exact, no different. But when I say to you it's a giraffe walking past the window, voom, something else kicks in. So knowledge is not only just the senses. Obviously the knowledge is some combination of the senses and the mind. Okay? Both are playing a part in human knowledge. Right? Yeah.
Something to experience as well.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's correct. There's also a memory. Memory is coming into it as well. But the mind has to... The mind has... When I was a little child, I went to the zoo and I saw this thing with spots all over it, you know, and my mummy told me, that is a giraffe. Into my mind went, that's a giraffe. Nothing additional went into my eyes. When a little child is walking around with his mummy, the child is drinking, the senses are drinking, 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 and mummy is putting tickets for the mind on everything that the senses are just drinking in. That's exactly what the Lord God did for Adam. In the Garden of Eden, the animals paraded past Adam, and the Lord God filled in Adam's mind as to what this tremendous parade for his eyes was. So, the point we want to get is that knowledge, human knowledge, is a combination of the mind and the senses. Right. Now, then the correct understanding, what Aristotle worked out, is that what, so to speak, the essence of the thing is channeled inside the sense data. It goes like, similarly here, obviously these lines are not, that's not really like that, but the mind, this is the true understanding of knowledge. In other words, the sense data, starting from the thing and coming to the senses, are like a channel down which and through which flows the intelligible nature of the thing into the intelligence. It's known as the process of abstraction. This is Aristotle's brilliant and accurate analysis. It's a difficult problem. It's easy to get it wrong. You can either tip over knowledge in the balance of the intelligence and you despise the senses, and that's what Descartes did, or you tip it over in the direction of the senses and you despise the intelligence, and that's what Kant did. Tip it over in the sense of the senses, that's what the English philosophers did. But the correct understanding, the Catholic understanding, and Aristotle is an understanding of the two. The two play. So what happens, says Aristotle, is my senses are constantly giving me a stream of data, and my mind is constantly reading inside the data. It's so fast I don't even notice it. Clock, door, man, pure pulpit. And then as the mind clicks just as fast as light from the data coming in, as the mind clicks, 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 it names these things. Because, in other words, the words name the essence of what the thing is. When I say giraffe walking past a window, dunk, the whole thing clicks. So that the mind is reading the essences of things behind the appearances. Okay? Now, a famous comparison is a slave carrying a treasure chest to a queen, or carrying a jewel box to a queen. The slave picks up the jewel box, carries the jewel box, there's a jewel inside, the slave doesn't know anything about it. He simply carries the jewel box to the queen. When he reaches the queen unlocks the box and pulls out the jewel. Right? The dumb slave, well, doesn't know anything about it. So, obviously the jewel is the essence of the thing. The box is the phenomena carried by the slave, and then the mind is the queen. So the mind unlocks the intelligible essence of the thing wrapped up inside the sense data, which are constantly coming at me. Okay? Now, for Kant, that's not good enough. What Kant said, that's Aristotle, and that's sanity. It's common sense that when I see this, I say organ. When I see this, I say chair. Cardboard jacket, tape box, microphones, book, stick. I mean, I know what these things are. I call them by a name. My mind is constantly reading. And interestingly, that is what the Latin intus lego says. Intus lego in Latin is to read inside. So the intelligence is the faculty that is constantly reading inside the phenomena. And it's common sense. It's my daily experience that every day, 24 hours a day, my mind is telling me what things are. My mind doesn't say cream, brown, black, dark brown, etc. My mind says picture, cross, book, cupboard, blackboard, etc. The mind is constantly and successfully reading inside the phenomenon. Right. Kant, that's not good enough. Kant has Frankenstein here. The tree is still opposite Frankenstein. But now, for the intelligence, Kant says, beyond the appearances, I don't know. How do I know what's beyond the appearances? All that I see is the appearances. How do I know what's going on? I don't see the tree, I just see the appearances of the tree. I see the green, and I see the brown. And if I went up and touched it, I'd still only be touching the surface. I don't know what's inside, behind the phenomena. My touch is still, if I lick the tree, I'd still only be on the surface. I'm still only beyond the appearances. If I hear the tree rustling in the wind, that's still only the appearances. Now, the Greek for appearances is appearances equals, the Greek is phainomena. And that is literally in Greek, things appearing. That's the muta plural of the present participle. In Latin, apparences. So that's things appearing, or appearances. So, Kant says, how do I know what's beyond the appearances? I don't know what's beyond the appearances. Beyond the appearances is the thing in itself, which I don't know. It's just one big question mark. He was a German, so he called it the Ding an sich. Dings. The Ding an sich. The thing in itself. How do I know what the thing in itself is? All I know is the appearances. Well, jolly-o, because now I see the appearances of a tree, and I say to myself, well, I don't know what it is. So what it is going to depend upon me. I say, behind the appearances of a tree, it's an elephant. That is modern philosophy. And if you say that is stupid, your conclusion is that modern philosophy is stupid and you are 300% right. And that is what these modern universities are full of. And now you understand why if you send your kids there, they come out crazy. Because that's the kind of thing they teach in these modern universities. That is how stupid they are. Kant says, the object delivers its phenomena to me. But when it's delivered the phenomena to me, my mind tells the object what it is. The phenomena, it's a jewel box without a jewel inside it, or I don't know if it's a jewel or not. In any case, I can't get inside that jewel box. So when the jewel box arrives, what I see is, well, it may be a piece of uranium inside there. It may be a piece of gold. It may be Mickey Mouse. My mind creates what's inside the box. So I say what it is. So my mind, boom, my mind creates the object. My mind comes to meet the sense data, and my mind tells the sense data what they are. Instead of the sense data carrying to me what they are, carrying to my mind, carrying inside them what they are to my mind tells the sense data what they carry. And so the sense data can carry to me the appearance of a crocodile, and I can say it's a donkey. The sense data can bring to me the appearance of... but I can say what I like. I can say what I like it is.
So senses have no meaning.
I don't know what the what meaning the senses have. Yes, the sense data. The
senses are useless.
No, they're not useless. They give me the materials for me to work on. No, I know. No, even for Kant, they're not useless. The sense data give me the materials with which my mind creates what the thing is. Larry?
In that philosophy, can I look at a tree or a green
yes.
with a brown thing?
Yes.
And at one point call it an elephant and at another point call it a crocodile?
Of course I can.
Okay. That's
yes.
So
it can change from one moment to the next.
So it's not that I see it and I simply give it a different name.
No.
I call a tree an elephant.
I
call it an elephant.
Because I make the data what I want.
Right. So I can change it from an elephant to a building.
Of course I can. Of course I can. Now, notice this. Whenever your modern philosopher comes down to breakfast in the morning, and he sees in front of him a white thing with some black liquid inside, what do you think he thinks it is? Do you think it's a do you think he ever thinks it's a crocodile? Or do you think that he thinks it's a cup of coffee? What would he do if he thought it was a crocodile? He wouldn't drink it, would he? And if his wife brought several cups and he said every single one was a crocodile or an elephant, besides his wife going crazy, he would go thirsty. Do you think he enjoys going thirsty? Therefore, what do you think happens when she brings him a white containing black in the morning? He says, well, I wonder what that is. I think it's a cup of coffee. And he drinks it. I wonder why.
So,
in other words, these crazy guys, they aren't all that crazy. They know exactly when to rely upon the sense data, just like everybody else does. But then they also know when to choose to tell the sense data to go to so that they can then tell the world what the world should be doing. You follow? So they're not all that crazy. They're not crazy enough to say that coffee isn't coffee. But they're easily crazy enough to say that the sunset doesn't say, the sunset tells me nothing about God.
When the sun, it's good for them. When it's good for them, then he says it's coffee.
I don't know. Not that, well, yes, because they survived. By that means they survived. We would wish they wouldn't, so that they'd all drop dead, these crazy guys. Right? But in other words, the system operates on their own choice. Supposing it didn't operate on their choice. What would happen if they really took seriously 24 hours a day their own system? Anybody?
Body wants to stop the bed of
the water. They'd be trapped in their own world.
They'd be crazy. They'd be absolutely crazy. They would be nuts. They would be nuts. And that is how some of them finish. Some of them finish nuts when they really, of course, most of them don't take the system. Most of them know when to turn the system on and when to turn it off. Whenever they're being told the sunset speaks to you of God and God has got 10 commandments, they turn off. Whenever it's white and black arriving on the breakfast table in the morning, they turn on. Or they turn their system off for the coffee cup, they turn it on for the sunset. In other words, it's selective application of their system. Because if you understand the system is completely crazy. Because it's detaching you from reality. I don't know what things are around me. I don't know that that's a picture. I don't know that this is a stick. I don't even know that I'm here. I don't know that I'm talking. Because it's just appearances. It may be you talking for all I know.
Was Nietzsche in that too?
Not exactly.
He went nuts.
He did go nuts, but that's a different ballgame. But he is one of the children of these characters. He's the son of a grandson of his sister.
No.
Okay, hold on. One at a time. Plenty of people. The whole modern world believes it. Because I can still drink my coffee while liberating myself from God. You follow? It's a system of liberty. See, if I believe in liberty, then for me to have this thing in front of me and for this stick to impose itself upon me that it's a stick and not something else is for me a lack of liberty. I am not free to say that this is anything other than a stick if I'm Aristotelian. Because the stick is telling me that it's a stick and I can't think any differently. Right? So if you put liberty in front of truth, which a whole lot of people today do, Kant gives them the ultimate liberty, which is the liberty from reality. But if you take liberty from reality to its ultimate conclusion, where do you finish up? In the funny part. You sure do. So these characters are selectively insane. Modern philosophy is selectively insane.
Religious make-believe.
I can't believe in anything. What is that? Oh, yes. You'd be surprised. And it's horrific when you meet somebody who does. It's horrific. They are ideologically insane. They're not clinically insane. Because they switch their system off when they aren't arguing or teaching. When they're living, when they have to walk down the street and drink coffee and eat a donut, they switch their system off. But the moment you start arguing with them, they switch it on. You follow? How can anybody believe in it? You'd be surprised. Because it satisfies pride. Who here is the king of creation?
Me.
Here. The object. The object. The object dominates me. Right? The object dominates my mind. My mind has to submit to that being a picture of Pius X and that being a picture of Alphonse Liguori, because that's what it is. Right? My mind submits. But here, who is the king of creation?
Him.
Yep.
The man.
See, and this suits pride. This is a system tailor-made, custom-built for pride. Because I, here, am the king of creation. The tree stands there, and I say, are you a tree or not? I say you are. I'm the king of creation. I make the object. I say that you're an elephant. I am the creator of the object. It's not the object imposing itself on me. Here, I am imposing myself on the object. I therefore become king.
Isn't that what Lucifer did?
This system is crazy, it's insane, it's Luciferian, yes. And that's modern philosophy. Mr. Kasgavich.
You were absolutely Schopenhauer, was a grandfather?
Yes.
My mind doesn't know the tree, it knows an eye that sees
yes.
the tree.
If you've got Kant is the trailblazer, and then you've got Fichte, Schlegel, Schelling, the next generation is Hegel and Schopenhauer, and then the next generation is Feuerbach, Nietzsche, and so on. There's a whole list of crazies.
Sounds German to me.
What do you say, Joseph?
It's the truth, you know. Some of the German went nuts, but not all. There's a few other ones
that are.
If I understand as well, in Kant's system,
yes.
You said object dominates mind.
No, in Aristotle's system, the object dominates the mind. Right?
In Kant?
The object dominates the mind. The object imposes itself on the mind. Right? The jewel imposes itself on the queen. The jewel comes in the case, I open it up, it's an amethyst. The amethyst is not a ruby. What came in the box is what came in the box. Right? And she says, amethyst or ruby and emerald, according to what came in the box. But here, it's my mind. The phenomena don't carry anything except the phenomena. It's a box with nothing in it.
Inconsistent.
Because beyond the phenomena, all that I know is the phenomena. All that I know is the appearances. Beyond the appearances, I know nothing and cannot know anything. And Kant declares it is unlawful for the mind to pretend that it can know anything beyond the phenomena, on the other side of the phenomena.
Well, that makes sense for religious liberty. It makes complete sense where that comes from.
The whole thing clicks into place. The whole modern system clicks into place.
The real problem in engineering.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Right on page 6 in the encyclical, in the term. And darum kann sie sich nicht zu Gott erheben und seine Existenz auch nicht aus den Sichtbaren. Darum.
Yeah, okay, no, that's all right. No. Yeah. You have you got the text of Pashindi, by the way? Were there enough around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, take a look at the summary now, the heart of the matter. This is the key of the whole encyclical. And if you see, this is the principle from which the whole encyclical flows. This is the negative principle up front of the philosophy. That beyond the phenomena, these are the phenomena, the appearances. The green of the leaves and the brown of the trunk, the rustling for the ear, the touch for my hand on the bark. Beyond these appearances, whether they're appearances to the ear or appearances to the eye or appearances to the fingers, beyond those appearances, I do not know. Not only do I do not know, I cannot know. And I have no right to pretend I do know. That is modern philosophy. That's Kant. It is absolutely crazy, but that's what he says. And if he doesn't finish in the funny farm, immediately he arises, it's simply because he switches his system on and off in order to survive. He lives by Aristotle's system. He teaches and thinks by his new system. Right? That's how it works. Aristotle wasn't inventing a system. Aristotle was simply analyzing how the thing works. This is how human knowledge works. I could prove it to you at greater length, in detail, if you want it. It's a fascinating question. It's a difficult question. It's a fascinating question. It's not nearly as easy as it looks, but that's the basis of it, and this is how Kant corrupted it. You might ask, how did Kant get to that point? The answer is, firstly, Descartes swung the balance too much in front of the intelligence and he despised the senses. Then the Englishman swung the balance too far back in front of the senses and despised the intelligence. To the point where the English were saying that, you know, we have only, that the English were saying more or less, we only know what the senses tell us. Kant said, that's not right. The mind does know something, and he's right. But then in order to explain how the mind knows something in addition to the senses, instead of going back to Aristotle and saying the senses carry a jewel box with it, which is a jewel inside, Kant said the mind makes the jewel and imposes the jewel upon the box given by the senses. So he didn't go back to Aristotle, he went to an additional craziness. He added craziness on top of craziness. So, again, that's a question of the history of philosophy. We can't go into it too much now. Now, then, take a look at, the heart of the matter. Beyond the phenomena, all this is in capital letters because it's crucial. Beyond the phenomena, brackets, things appearing as they appear, the appearances of things as appearances. Beyond the phenomena, all is unknowable. Behind the green and brown line, just one big question mark. I do not know, I cannot know, I may not pretend to know. But God, as the author of nature, miracles as such, and external revelation are all the other side of the phenomena. I'll explain that in a moment. The conclusion follows with three dots. That's not masonry, but that's the therefore, as you may remember from geometry. Therefore, God, miracles, and revelation don't exist without, meaning outside, nor come from without, meaning outside the individual. What's the next step? However, as given facts, they come from somewhere, therefore, they come from within. Therefore, God, miracles, and all of these marvelous things speaks of God. Right. Now, is it, I mean, look. Look out the window. Look at that. Those colors. Is it the colors as colors that speak of God? Is it the colors as colors hitting the senses that speak of God? No. What is it that speaks of God? It's the beauty of the color, right? It's the arrangement of color. It's the beauty of the color. The beauty is behind the phenomenon, so to speak. Right? So the beauty behind the appearances which speak of God. Now, Kant's system, behind the phenomena, I cannot go. That's all I know. Therefore, I'm cut off from God. Kant cannot look at the senses, at the sense display of a sunset, and say, that speaks to me of God. Because he doesn't know what's behind the phenomenon. He doesn't even know it's the sun, he doesn't even know it's clouds, he doesn't know it's a sunset, he doesn't know anything behind just an appearance of color. Therefore, if the color speaks of God, where's it coming from? God. Right? So it's not God, the sun, the beauty to me, right? The beauty of the creator, the beauty of the creature to me, and then my mind to the beauty of the creature and up to the beauty of the creator. That's not it. It's just a dance of phenomena, and then my heart sort of God. I honk up God. That's Kant. And that's the new church, and that's modernism. Why does this, anybody tell me, why does the sunset particularly make me think of God? Why does Kant, the modernist answer, Kant's answer is, you know, there are certain combinations of phenomena which sort of get on the wavelength of my honking. They're sort of goom, goom, goom. There's vibes out in the sunset. And they set me vibing and then God. That's it. That is modernism. And if it makes you want to vomit, you are quite right. It is a system of vomit. Absolutely literally. Because since the mind is cut off from the object, and yet since religion is an experience, it's there. I mean, you know. And since it can't come from outside, then it's got to be coming from inside. So religion comes from inside, which is why you said use the word experience. Experience is an absolutely key buzzword in modernism. Another word is feeling. Feeling, experience, something your religion has got to be. Anybody, another buzzword?
A high.
A high, yes. It's got to be...
Experience.
Experience, yes. It's got to be lived, man. It's got to be... lived. And if your religion isn't lived, then it isn't religion. If you don't go into the chapel and get sort of your entrails rocking and rolling like this, then man, forget it. You aren't a Catholic. That's why modernism immediately joins charismatics. It's Protestantism, it's charismatism, it's just, you know, internalism, but the object is completely destroyed. So God, the author of nature, miracles as such, again, let's think again. Let's put Frankenstein in front of a miracle. Here are six pots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's meant to be six pots. We're at Cana, right? The marriage party at Cana. There are the six pots. I look inside. Frankenstein, we really must restore him a little anatomically. How's that? That's a bit better, I think. Alright, and Frankenstein looks and he sees water. He sees transparency, right? He sees the color of, let's say, that six pots of water. He looks 2 moments later and his eyes pick up instead, in the same place, they pick up, boom, 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 six pieces of red, assuming that I've all turned it into red wine. This could be it's a disputed question, but we'll assume for the purposes of argument that it was red wine. So, now, again, do my senses tell me that a miracle has taken place? Do my senses, as senses, tell me that a miracle has taken place?
No.
No, that's correct. What do my senses, as senses, tell me?
The senses just... Send information about color.
That's exactly it. So my senses send the first piece of information, which is six surfaces of water. They send then a second piece of information, six surfaces of wine. Right?
Correct.
A change of color, exactly. My eyes send a change, and the taste would also send a change of information. But does the sense as sense tell me that it's a miracle? What tells me that it's a miracle? The mind is correct. The mind that saw that it was water, and then in the very same place, immediately after this, after Jesus of Nazareth has spoken a few words, it sees wine. It's the mind that tells me it's a miracle. How does the mind tell me it's a miracle? Because the mind is reading behind the phenomenon, right? The mind is telling me, this is water and it doesn't change into wine. Water doesn't change into wine. And then my senses tell me it's wine. It's the mind that says, this is not something that normally happens. The senses don't tell me this doesn't normally happen. It's the mind that tells me this doesn't. The senses don't know the laws of nature. The senses are simply giving me data, right? Therefore, that this change from water into wine is extraordinary, is something phenomenal or beyond the phenomenon. Is the miracle phenomenal, or is the miracle as miracle the other side of the phenomenon?
The other side.
Correct. Exactly. Therefore, since the miracle is beyond the phenomenon, and since I am incapable of knowing what's beyond the phenomenon, it follows that I am incapable of knowing miracles. But miracles are there, man. Therefore, where do miracles come from? Miracles. That's where they come from. If you say the system is crazy, you've got it. You're getting the message. And that's exactly modernism. The modernists say that Jesus was simply a man who did certain things that got people's entrails so rocking and rolling that everybody started honking, or several people started honking at the same time. Miracle. And that's where And that's where, and then somebody wrote down that this was a miracle, and that's how he got the New Testament. It's devastating. It's an atom bomb. It's a hydrogen bomb. This, do you see, is a hydrogen bomb. You absolutely devastated the building site. And what are you putting up in its place? The vomit that comes from inside my own entrance.
So the idea is to pull everything into question.
Absolutely. So I can question that you're talking to me, because I see certain phenomena, I see an arrangement of colors, I hear a few sounds bouncing around, but I could sit here and decide it's a man in a blue shirt who's talking to you when you open your mouth.
So the modernists are saying that the writers of the gospel are relating people's experiences.
That's exactly it.
That's all they're saying.
That's exactly it. You'll see that.
But all it is a record of people's experience.
You got it.
How can you think like that? Or like, I mean,
Matt, they haven't got the faith.
Yeah.
They haven't got the faith. They don't believe in a darn thing.
Yeah.
But they want to keep up the appearances. And so they pull it all out of their own guts and pretend that that's the stuffing of the Catholic religion. Ye got it. Or I can't know whether there's a God.
Right.
God is completely and totally unknowable.
That's why I think Gnosticism is instead of atheism.
That's why it's phenomenal technology. Yes, it's just, yeah. God, no, God, there can be a God, but he's a production of my own entrance. He comes up from here. That's right. Sanely thinking, yes. But for these people, that's the only possible God. Because this God, the creator, the cause of all of the effects of which I pick up the phenomena, I'm cut off from him. Third example. External revelation. Okay, now, external revelation. Let's take third example. Here is wearing a blue cloak.